During this session, I would like for us to talk about the daily devotional life, which many people refer to as the quiet time. I would encourage you to get out a pencil and a piece of paper and to take notes on this session. I would encourage you just to write down the major outline, the major thoughts, and also especially the references that we cover. During these next few minutes, you'll not have time to really absorb all that God has to say on this topic. So if you'll take notes on this, and especially write down the verses that I refer to, and then later you can take your outline and go through it and look up the verses in the Bible, and will be much more meaningful to you than just listening to this tape. I'm going to be trying to answer three questions. First, what is a quiet time? Second, why should I have a quiet time? Third, how do I have a quiet time? First of all, what is a quiet time? For me, a quiet time is basically three things. First of all, it's a time of personal fellowship with God. Jesus said in Matthew 22:36-38, as the Pharisees came to him and they said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment." David, the man referred to as the man after God's own heart, wrote in Psalm 63:1, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And in Psalm 42:1, he said, "As the hart, a young deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." A quiet time is a time of personal fellowship with God, a time when we seek to know Him, to get to know Him better. Hosea 6 in the Living Translation, verse 3, says, "Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him, and He will respond to us as surely as the coming of dawn or the rain of early spring." And in verse 6 of Hosea 6, God is talking, and He says, "I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know Me." And young people, the heart of the Christian life is getting to know Jesus Christ. It's not being active in a lot of organizational activities. It's not just living a certain standard of life, obeying certain rules, but the Christian life is getting to know Jesus Christ. The five most important words in the Bible, I'm convinced, are recorded in Philippians 3:10, where it says, "that I may know Him." And this is what the Christian life is all about. If we go through our life and not get to know Jesus Christ, then we have missed the whole purpose for our being. The heart beat of our life should be to know Jesus Christ. You get to know someone by spending time with that person. You get to know someone basically by spending time alone with that person. You might have a friend that you consider very dear to your heart. And if you'll reflect on that friendship, it was developed and deepened by spending time with that person, especially time alone when you were really able to share your hearts with one another. The same thing is true in our relationship with God. We get to know Him by spending time with Him. And most of us need to plan to spend time with God. If we don't plan it, we'll not do it. So first of all, a daily quiet time is a time of personal fellowship with God. Secondly, a quiet time is a time when you ask God to speak to you about your own life. A time when you ask God to speak to you about your own life. A quiet time is not the time when you do your Sunday school lesson, prepare for your training union, or doing a Bible study for a small group. But it's a time when you just open your heart to God and say, "God, speak to me about my own personal life." There are so many areas in most of our lives that God needs to work on that we need to ask Him to speak to us concerning these areas, to show us where we are not like Jesus and what He wants us to do in order to become more like Him. In Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, expresses the thought here, where the psalmist wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thirdly, a daily quiet time is a time of committing the day to the Lord. It's a time of dying to self and asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, what was Jesus referring to there when he said that if we're going to follow him, we have to take up our cross daily? A cross was a means of crucifixion. It was a means of death. To take up our own cross means that we are dying to self. It means that we sacrifice self, die to self, in order that Jesus Christ might rule in our lives. In other words, it is a surrender of our own wills to him, asking that his will would be done in our lives. Jesus had to do this himself. Remember when he prayed in the garden that God would let the cup pass from him? And then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." One man, referring to his quiet time, says that it's a time when he performs a funeral service every morning in his room, when he dies to self, and he commits the day to the Lord. What you need to do in your quiet time is surrender that particular day to the Lord. Ask him to be in control. If there are particular things that you know are coming for that day, then verbally surrender those things to him and ask God to be in control of those events. Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." The second question that I'd like to speak to is, why should I have a quiet time? First of all, God desires my fellowship. This is a staggering thought to me, and it's been one that has drawn me to give me a greater desire to have fellowship with God. It's knowing that he desires my fellowship. Why the God of the universe, the one who created the heavens and the earth, would want to spend personal time alone with me, I cannot understand. But this is what he says. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, "But God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." The reason God has called us is to have fellowship with Jesus, more than any other reason. More than God wants you to witness, more than God wants you to obey the Ten Commands, more than God wants you to do anything else, he wants you to have fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. In John 4:23, Jesus said, "Behold, the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." God desires your fellowship. This is one reason why we should have a quiet time. A second reason why we should have a daily quiet time is because it is necessary for a vital and growing relationship with Christ. It is necessary for a vital and growing relationship with Christ. Many of you young people have been to False Creek or similar retreats, and God has spoken to you during those times, and you've had a desire to walk with him, and you've committed yourself to him. But 6 months later, you are right back where you were before you went to Falls Creek. It didn't last. And although you desired for it to, it didn't. Why? The reason is because you did not develop a daily relationship with him and continue to get to know him better and to continue day by day to let him speak to you so that you could maintain this vital relationship with him. I would have to be honest in saying that I have not had what I would refer to as a mountaintop experience at a retreat or a revival in many years. Because for me, the highlight in my time with God are times when I'm alone with him in my room. I enjoy going to conferences. I benefit from the fellowship. I learn many things. But the highlights for me in my personal fellowship with God are the times when I'm alone with him in my room, pouring over his word, talking to him, pouring my heart out to him, and just enjoying his fellowship. What kind of a relationship would you have with a friend if you didn't spend time with him? I don't care if the person is your best friend. If you cease to spend time with him, it'll not be long before the friendship has cooled, before you, there's not the give and take, the relationship, the communication that there was before. The same thing is true in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless we maintain our daily fellowship with him, our relationship with him will not mature and grow to what it ought to be. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, is recorded a very important incident. I'll be reading from the Living Translation. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat on the floor listening to Jesus as he talked. But Martha was the jittery type and was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Sir, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over all these details. There's really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her." What was the one thing Jesus said was worth being concerned about? The one thing that he said is necessary. It's to sit at his feet and to listen to him and to have fellowship with him. This was true in the life of Jesus himself, the need for him to have daily fellowship with the Father. As you read through the Gospels, you always, you know, again and again, you see Jesus going off to be by himself, to pray and to spend time alone with the Father. Mark 1:35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And in Matthew 14:23, it says, "And after sending the multitudes away, he went up a hill by himself alone to pray." Jesus was constantly getting alone by himself to have fellowship with the Father. If it was important for Jesus, the Son of God himself, to spend time daily in fellowship with the Father, how much more important is it for you and me to spend daily fellowship with Christ? It is essential if we're going to have a vital and growing relationship with him. A third question I would like to answer is, how do I have a quiet time? First of all, let me say that there are three prerequisites to having a quiet time. First of all, you need to decide on a definite time. Make a date with God. Decide when you're going to spend time with him. Most people find that it is best to have this time as early in the day as possible, before the day has begun. Some people have gotten into the habit of reading their Bibles at night just before they go to bed. And there aren't any rules here. If you decide this is the best time for you, great. But most people are pretty tired at the end of the day and pretty sleepy, and their devotional time is less than what it ought to be. The best time that we for us to have our quiet time is when we're at our best. And most people are more refreshed early in the day. Another thing is the fact that the day is ahead of you in the morning. Have you ever gone to a concert and heard the orchestra tune its instruments after the concert? No, they usually tune their instruments before the concert. A soldier doesn't put on his weapons after he's fought the battle, but before. The same thing is true with us. It usually is more beneficial to have the quiet time early in the day, before the day has begun, so that you can surrender that day to him, tune your heart to him, and enjoy his fellowship throughout the day. Psalm 5:3 says, "Each morning I will look to you in heaven and lay my request before you, praying earnestly." In Psalm 143:8, it says, "Let me see your kindness to me in the morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for my prayer is sincere." So make a date with God. Set aside a definite time that you're going to meet with him daily. Second thing you need to do is to decide on a definite place. Genesis 19:27, it says, "And Abraham got up to the place where he had stood before the Lord. In Exodus 33, verses 7 through 11, Moses set up a tent outside the camp, a special place where anyone in the camp wanted to have fellowship with God. They would go out to this tent of meeting, as it was called, a special place of fellowship with God. And in Daniel 6:10, it's recorded that Daniel had an upper chamber with windows facing toward Jerusalem where he went three times a day to have fellowship with God and to pray. So decide on a definite place. If possible, a place where it's quiet, a place where you can be alone with no distractions. To have a definite place will keep you centered on your fellowship with God. And then decide on a definite plan. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This will keep you from wasting time. It will also keep you from just looking for certain things by going to your favorite passages, but will allow you to expose yourself to different parts of Scripture so that God can speak to you as He wants to. Let me warn you against following the letting your Bible fall open to where it will method. One man did that. The Bible fell open to the passage where it says, "And Judas went out and hanged himself." He tried it again, and he came to a passage that said, "Go thou and do likewise." And he said, "Well, I'm going to try one more time." This time the passage fell open to the verse that said, "What thou doest, do quickly." So I would suggest that you choose a book and go through that book a chapter each day. If you'd like to start off with the Gospel of John, and then the book of Acts, and then the book of Romans, and take one chapter a day and just read through that chapter. Let me say something about procedure in quiet time. First of all, I would suggest that you begin your quiet time with a time of prayer, perhaps just a minute or two to pray. The first thing I usually do is to confess the sins that God brings to my mind. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And then ask God to speak to you from the Scriptures that day. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of His heart to every generation." So first of all, have a short time of prayer. Secondly, read the chapter for that day. The Word of God is essential if we're going to grow in our relationship with Him. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then I would suggest that you meditate on the chapter that you just read. Someone has defined meditation as thoughtful reflection with view to application. Ask yourself two questions about the passage. Number one, what truths are there in this passage? Secondly, how can I apply these truths to my life? Make personal application of the Scripture to your life. I would suggest that you write down things that God brings to your mind. And your written application should be personal, practical, and measurable. In other words, use the words I, me, my, and mine. Don't say all Christians should love one another, but you might come up with an application like, "I should love my sister more. I will do this by polishing her shoes for her," or something of that nature. Write down an application that is personal, practical, something that you can do, and measurable, so that you'll know whether or not you have done it. I usually try to put a time limit on my application, and that is, this week I will do such and such. The fourth thing I would suggest you do is to pray again. Surrender the day to God, especially particular things that you know you'll be facing that day. And then surrender yourself to God. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Let me make a few practical suggestions. Number one, keep a notebook to write down things that God speaks to you about. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So as the word of God brings thoughts to our mind, as God speaks to us through His word, we need to write those down. You might want to write in your notebook, your quiet time notes, the truths that He gives you. Have a page for your personal application. Record the prayers that you pray and then how God answers. You might also want to use your notebook to take notes in church or in training union or other places where people are speaking, and you can record what they say for later reference. If I went through college the way most people go through church, I never would have made it. If my study habits and my diligence in college had been like most people it is in church, I would have failed miserably. So keep a notebook, take notes, and whenever a pastor uses an illustration that is good for your life or one that you would like to share with a friend, you can write it down and keep it. I would also suggest that you begin with a 10-minute quiet time. Don't try to start off with an hour. Begin with 10 minutes and develop consistency. It's much more important to become consistent with 10 minutes than to start off with an hour and quit after the first week. After you've had several weeks at 10 minutes, you might want to increase it to 15. But consistency is more important than length. A third suggestion that I would make is that you go to bed the night before. If you have set a date with God in the morning, God doesn't want you to stand Him up. Some of you girls have been stood up before by a fellow on a date. It's not very much fun, is it? And it isn't very polite either. Well, make a date with God and keep it. And if you're going to keep a date with God in the morning, you need to go to bed at night. Someone has rightfully said, if you want to soar with the eagles in the morning, you can't hoot with the owls at night. If you begin to have a time of daily fellowship with God, 1 John 1:3 will begin to become true in your life. 1 John 1:3 says, "These things write we unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." You can begin to have personal fellowship with God. For most people, the quality of this fellowship, the quality of the quiet time, is something that grows and develops over a period of time. There are many times for me when my quiet time seems somewhat routine. Not every morning is a time of mountaintop experience. But I find myself profiting very much by having a consistent time with the Lord. Every meal is not a T-bone steak, but I need every meal in order to survive. So let me encourage you not to become discouraged, but to seek after God. Jeremiah 29:13, God has promised, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him."